If you're here for the first time today, welcome. I didn't give that welcome this morning. So lovely to have you, and pray God will bless you, and look forward to getting to know you. Okay, so this morning we're in Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. And it says, "And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box.' And they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." We've been enjoying this time of just looking at these encounters with King Jesus. And Jesus is the theme of our songs. He's the center of our message. He's the revelation of the Father. Everything that was in the Father, it was revealed in Jesus Christ. And as we get to know Jesus, we get to know the Father. And we all look for Jesus, to look for what God wants to reveal about himself to us. Every one of these encounters teaches us something about what Jesus values. It teaches us something about the beautiful heart that beats within God's breast. And we want to know that heart so that we can align our hearts with his heart, so that we can live for him and love for him in the like manner that he lives and loves. So we want to see what he values. And this is an interesting scene. It's in the temple courts. There was a place where people came and put their money in these various depositories. And the Bible says Jesus was watching the people. And the word there in the Greek is actually crowds. There was throngs of people. There was a mass of people coming and putting in their offerings. And what's really interesting is Jesus notices this one lady who comes very quietly and drops in some tiny little coins. And it's like the Holy Spirit highlights her to him. The Holy Spirit informs him of what's going on in her life, that she actually has, that's all she has. And Jesus goes, "Look at that." He's not impressed by all the big offerings. He's not impressed by all the crowds. He spots what this little lady is doing. And he highlights it. And what's so fascinating, he's standing there with his disciples. He's standing there with 12 men who he's going to send out to change the world. He's standing there with 12 men who are going to go out there with his values and with his heart. And he sees this poor widow and her tiny offering. He sees it as an opportunity for an object lesson to teach his disciples his values. And he says, "Guys, did you see that?" And they're like, what? "Did you see that? Did you see that lady put in those few tiny coins? I want you to notice that, because it's a value I want you to gather from that." And we want to look at the lessons that we can learn from this lady. What she doesn't understand when she comes, probably quite embarrassed, because other people are putting in these massive amounts, you hear all the coins crashing in, she puts in it. What she doesn't realize is she's been observed by the creator of the universe. What she doesn't realize is she's been seen by the heir of all things, the possessor of all things. And he goes, "Wow, that moves my heart. That's something I want my boys to learn so that they can go and teach it to others." And you know what the other amazing thing is? The Holy Spirit chose to write this woman's act into the Holy Scripture so that her act would ring through the centuries. For 2,000 years, Christians, millions and millions of Christians, have been picking up this book and reading about that little act of generosity. Those few coins are still being an inspiration to us here this morning. What a profound thing that such a small gift could still be echoing through the centuries. And what we can learn from that is that we might think the little thing that we do is insignificant. But what we have to realize is that in God, the smallest thing can go way beyond our current situation, can go way beyond our generation, can echo into eternity. One small act of obedience to God, one small act of goodness, We must never underestimate the power of the small things. And the scripture is full of that. Little things have huge consequences. There's a slide full of scriptures here. I'm just going to read them all. Matthew 13, 32 says this. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown large, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Matthew 10, 42 says, if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. John 6, 9 says, and there was a boy here who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? It was the feeding of the 5,000. That little boy just had his lunch, enough for one little boy. Such a big need, such a small gift. Matthew 18, 20 says, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. 2 or 3 8 billion people in the world, when 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, presence of God in a special way. Zechariah 4 verse 10 says this, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. We must never underestimate the power of the small, of the little acts done in obedience, because every single little act adds up to the coming of God's kingdom. And there's something powerful about those small things. Sorry guys, I have a little problem here. I put 2 sheets together, give me a moment. We must be so careful that we don't neglect the ordinary because of the wrong thinking that the ordinary little acts of daily life done in obedience to Jesus and his character are not significant, that they're not going to make a difference. I want to tell you the story of a little guy, his name is David, he was the son of my late friend, and the church that we were at in South Africa, the pastor was felt God calling him to start a building project. And the church had very little finances, and he was praying about God, do you want us to do this? And he was praying about it, and the young guy, David, I can't remember, you can sort of judge how old he was. He had a little piggy bank, and he had 7 rand, I think 7 rand 26 or something in it. I don't remember the exact details. And he came to the pastor and he said, I want to give all my savings to the church for God's purposes. And the pastor's heart was broken because he felt like God said, that's just the beginning. That's just the seed of what I'm going to do. God provided 7 million rand, and that was like 40 years ago. No, that wasn't 40 years ago. It was about 30 years ago. It was a hang of a lot of money in South Africa at that time. $700,000. God provided to build a 500-seater church for that church. But it started with one little boy, and he's standing there on the broken soil when the building began. Small acts have great consequences. Small acts of faith. And I love the way there was 7 rand there, which was basically 7 cents. There was 7 rand there. God multiplied it to 7 million. And I love it when I remember that story. Every single one of us have got something to contribute to the whole of God's purpose. And we must never hold back giving what we have, because it's of huge significance. And we do not know what the ripple effect might be. I love what it says in 1 Peter 4 verse 10. It says, for each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And we must be aware that God has given us something to do, however small. And it might be small in one season, it might get larger in another season. But it starts with that one act. If we wait forever to do the small act, we'll never do the bigger act. And it starts with us going, this is my part. Galatians 6 verse 4 says this, but let each one test his own work. Then he will have reason to boast. And will be in, sorry, then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each of us has to bear his own load. And I love this picture. God has given all of us part of the load to bear, part of the works to do, part of the bringing of the kingdom. He's given us specific gifts, personalities, things that differ from others. We can do things that others can't do. We can reach others that others aren't in contact with. We all have to do our part. We all have to lift our bit of the load. And we don't have to compare. That lady could have looked and said, that guy put in thousands, even millions, and I've got a few pennies. Oh, what's the point? I feel so inconsequential. But Jesus goes, no, that is the coming of God's kingdom. We must never compete or compare. We must all go, I'm gonna do what I must do for Jesus. Look at this image. It sort of illustrates that sometimes I know some people have a visual picture. There's this heavy, heavy load, and these people are working away there. You see the guy, those three guys, they're carrying their part of the load. This lady, she's too short to get her shoulder under, but she's putting all she can to help lift the load. And every newton of force upward is reducing. It's counteracting the newtons downwards, and it's lightening the load for everybody else. I don't know so much about this bloke. He looks like he's doing something. And these guys, I think they're sort of just pulling the whole thing off. And that guy actually also looks like he's doing something. Every single one of us have got some of the load to bear. And if everybody does as much as they can in their given season, in obedience to God, the load becomes incredibly light. And so we want to be saying, God, we want to do what we, the little we have to do, whether it's big or little, whether it seems inconsequential against the need of a massive world, let's do what we call to do. One little prayer, one little act of kindness. Don't know what the ripple effect might be. We don't know what that might do. And there's another principle of the little. The little acts change character. They change our character. Luke 16 verse 10 says this: one who is faithful in the very little is also faithful in the much. And if we say, oh, we'll start to do it when, we'll start to give when we've got excess or whatever, Bible says, no, start now. Start with that little witness, with that little prayer, with that little giving away that you're a Christian at work, so people can look at your life and go, ah, there's a link between this well-lived life and this joy and this peace in troubled times and their Christianity. Those little acts, those little attempts at sharing Jesus, the little acts of kindness that can touch and bless people's lives so powerfully. It grows into a character. Daily habits of small things shape our character, shape who we are as a person. And God is able to then do much through us, because it starts with a little. The other thing that's so beautiful about this little scene that we're looking at, if we think about the fact about who is watching, that Jesus is watching, that lady doesn't know that God is standing there. And that there's an incredible inheritance. He's a God who rewards. He's a God who acknowledges. He's a God who, when we give, he says, I'll give you so much you won't know how to handle it, both now and into eternity. And she doesn't know that Jesus is watching. And what we might be trapped by the devil, tempted by the devil to feel, is like no one notices. We keep trying to do good, and it doesn't seem to make any difference. No one seems to notice. What's the point? And then in Isaiah 40 verse 27, it says there, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? And Israel was falling into this trap and saying, the Lord doesn't seem to see. The psalmist also said, I do all these righteous acts, and it seems like just the wicked prosper. The Bible says, don't make that mistake. The Lord does not disregard our little acts. He sees every single one of them. We look in Proverbs 15 and verse 3. It says this: the Lord is watching everything. keeping his eyes on both evil and good. Proverbs 5 verse 21 says, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders all his paths. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful when we do something good, when we obey God, we can look up and see Jesus is going. That's it. That's my son and daughter. That's my obedient servant. You can look up and he's watching. And his heart is swelling. And when you swell the heart of the most generous being in the universe, crazy stuff happens. Crazy stuff is released because something different is happening in a world of selfishness, in a world of greed, in a world of me first. There's somebody going, no. Him first. Others first. And there's a connection to the power and the glory and the kingdom of God coming to earth. You can never underestimate the power of that. He is watching and he will reward us. Look at what Hebrews 6 verse 10 says. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. God will never overlook what we do in the service of others because it's a service of him. He's always watching. Isn't that an incredible encouragement? And Matthew 25 verse 21 says this. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. There's two profound truths in that. When we're faithful with the little, Jesus gives us more. He gives us greater influence. He gives us greater capacity. And then it also says, enter into my joy. When you do stuff, Jesus was that lady brought him so much joy. And when we do what Jesus wants us to, when we express Christ likeness in even our smallest acts, Jesus goes, his heart is bursting with joy. And he says, I'm going to show you joy. And guys, we have a bit of joy in this world. But Jesus has got joy for us that will blow our minds, that our natural bodies would never be able to contain. Hearts bursting with a revelation of his beauty and his love as we see him face to face. And we want to be living towards that day. Let's go back to our text because there's still a few lessons in here. Just towards the end there, I'm not going to read it again, but it says there that in the bold part, in the last verse, she out of her poverty, she has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on. And there's a few more wonderful messages in the beautiful attitude of this lady's heart. One of them, because we see she put in everything she had. Now, widows in those days, they quite often had lost their spouse, but a widow in those days also often lost her source of providence. She was destitute. In fact, the word in widow in the Greek means a chasm, means a gaping void. We don't know exactly how the Greek words evolved, but there's an idea that this woman had so much need. And when the Bible says that she was poor, it's a very strong Greek word for poverty. It's destitution. It's not having any choices. It's not having any resources. She had nothing but those coins. And she said, I'm going to give them to God. What incredible trust. Now, earlier in his ministry, Jesus had said this. Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't know if this lady had heard that teaching. It's not unimaginable that she was actually at that teaching. But let me tell you something. She was definitely living this truth out. When she gave everything, she was saying, God, I feel like you want me to give this to your kingdom. I want to put your kingdom first. And I believe you're going to add everything. I trust your character, Father, that you know my needs. And when I give everything I have, that you won't let me starve tomorrow. What incredible trust in the character of God. But what incredible worship of the person of God. When we can act like that, in a situation like that, we say God is greater and bigger than everything else. What also she's doing there is when she gives everything she has, she's putting God above every other material thing. She's putting him in the absolute highest place, which is what worship is. Worship is when we recognize the entity, the being of greatest worth, and we attribute that worth to that person. And God doesn't want us to put anything else higher than him, because he knows if he lets us get away with that, we are going to end up with less. If you think of someone who doesn't know God and all their life they pursue wealth, acclaim, popularity, they pursue luxury and things, when they die at the end of their lives, what have they got? Because they chased the wrong priority. When we chase God as our highest priority, when we come to the end of life, we inherit the thing of greatest worth. We inherit the fullness of God. So that's why God says to Christians, I won't let those idols grow in your life. I'll go after your idols because I've got an ego. No, because I want you to inherit that which is of greatest worth. I want you to worship that which is of greatest worth, so that you will get that which is of greatest worth, which is me. And Matthew 6 verse 19 says this, do not lay, and then also I'm jumping ahead to verse 24, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in to steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and money. The Bible says, where our treasure is, there our heart will follow. What we treasure is aligned with our heart. If we treasure God, if that's where our resources flow towards God and his purposes, that's where our heart will go. If it's towards the things of the world, our heart will follow the resources, as it were. And God doesn't want us to be shortchanged. A.W. Tozer says this, millions call themselves by his name, it is true, and pay some token homage to him. But a simple test will show how little he is really honored among them. Let the average man be put to proof on the question of who or what is above, and his true position will be exposed. Let him be forced into making a choice between God and money, between God and men, between God and personal ambition, between God and self, God and human love, and God will take the second place every time. Those other things will be exalted above. However, the man may protest, the proof is in the choice he makes day after day throughout his life. May we be a people who always put God first in our choices, who worship God. That doesn't mean God won't bless us with all those other things. It doesn't mean all those other things are wrong. But as soon as they take a place above God, they become an idol. And God doesn't want to leave us in that situation. So may we be able to have that wholehearted worship, putting God above all things, like this lady did. And then the last thing that her is very interesting, if we go back to our Mark text, I've highlighted that word, live. And it's interesting, in the Greek, the word there is bios. We get the word biology from the same root. It means the study of life. It actually means life. So this is rightly translated, all she had to live on. Another way of saying it is she was laying down her whole life. She was actually, it was like her life. That was it. She'd have no more resources to carry on living. She gave her 100% commitment to God. She gave her whole life. And I believe this took place when Jesus was already going up to Jerusalem to lay down his life. And I believe when he saw that woman give her bios, give her all to God, it reminded him of what was coming up, another laying down of everything to God. And that was his own laying down of everything to God. He resonated. He was saying, I'm on my journey to do what that lady did, but 100%, just like way, 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 way more. He was going to lay down his life on the cross to pay for our sins. As a substitute for us, he was going to give everything. The Bible says he was obedient even unto death, even death on the cross. He said, Father, I'm going to obey. I'm going to give 100% of myself for the salvation of the world. And when Jesus saw that lady giving her bios, he was like, guys, that's what I'm going to be doing. That's what I want you to value. That's what I'm asking of everyone. 100% commitment to God. White hot devotion to him. Nothing taking, him taking his second place to nothing. And John 15 verse 13 says this, greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. He laid down his life to save us and to rescue us and to bless us. And God is looking for 100% Christians. We will also lay down our lives, give our all in commitment to him, so that through us, he can love and save the lost with the same heart. And just in closing, there's a beautiful passage in Chronicles that's come up a few times. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. And it goes back to Jesus watching. And it says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Wow. What a challenge to our lives. God is watching. He's looking through the earth for someone who will go, God, I give you my bios. I give you my whole life. I am totally committed to your service. What you command, King, I will do. From the small acts to the biggest. Because what that lady was doing, as small as her offering was, it was a huge act. She was actually giving everything. And God is looking for those that he may strengthen us, that he may empower us, that he may equip us, that he may resource us. And what might start with 7 rand can become 7 million rand. And when the Bible actually says, when he gives seed to the sower, when we sow, he will give us everything we need for every act of generosity, for every act of kindness. God will resource us. He's watching for someone who will go, yes, God, to your every command, to those little things. I will not be discouraged. I will obey. And he will empower us. And guys, you know what? For sure, there's no time to look into all the scriptures. He will reward us. He will reward us with eternal blessings of a joy in heaven that only those who've sacrificed like him can understand. And that's why Paul said, I want to fellowship with the suffering, so that I can enjoy the joy of the resurrection with him. May God help us. May he grip our hearts. Let's take this beyond the sermon. And as we go through the week, say, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, arrest our hearts. Grip us. Pull down any idol. And stir us to 100% commitment, 100% worship. And let us live by that value. Carrying that value into the world. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for just these beautiful glimpses of you, Lord. And the beautiful glimpses of things that you valued and the beautiful things that you've recorded in Scripture as your holy revelation to us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that this word is life, Lord. The word carries power to transform us. So we humbly receive the word of God, as it says in James. But we humbly receive it, and we ask that you would transform us, Lord. All of us know the areas where we need to be more laid down, Lord. Where we need to let your Holy Spirit bring about greater commitment, Lord. And Father, without any heavies, Lord, because this is by your grace, this is by the empowering life, the empowering bios of Jesus, we are able to do it. But we surrender to the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we ask, Lord, that you would see us and that you would enable us and equip us and grace us to be the people you call us to do, to strengthen us in the task of reflecting God's heart to the world in even our smallest daily acts, and any great and bigger act that you might ask us to do, God. So we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Let's do that. Let's worship him. Let's give